Hello and welcome to chapter number 4 of Managing Project Vendors. Here we will talk about the art of reaching a win-win effective negotiation. Negotiation is something which we all would have been a part of multiple times in our lives. So what would be an effective negotiation and how would we reach a win-win effective negotiation when it comes to project vendors, when it comes to outsourced service providers? What is a negotiation? Well, by definition, a negotiation is a dialogue between two or more people or parties intended to reach an understanding, resolve points of differences, to gain advantage for an individual or collectively, or to craft outcomes to satisfy various interests. And that's the literal definition. Negotiation is discussion between two or more parties to reach a conclusion, to reach an agreement. Well, you would have negotiated when you were to purchase something. The seller wants to sell at a certain price point, whereas the buyer wants to buy at a certain price point. Now, for it to be a win-win negotiation, the seller's desired range of price of selling and the buyer's desired range of buying something, there needs to be an overlap. Otherwise, it becomes difficult to reach a common agreement. So this is what we will talk about, however, with respect to project management. So negotiation is a method by which people settle differences. People come with their own values, price points, and they negotiate so that not only in terms of price, but also in terms of contractual terms, clauses, legal, commercial, obligatory. So they need to reach an agreement before they can start working together on a contract or on a project. So let's see, how do we reach a win-win negotiation? First, let's break down the definition of negotiation as mentioned in the previous slide. So first, negotiation is a process with respect to a project management, a process of formal communication. So here it would be a formal communication between the client organization and a third party vendor or a service provider while they sit together to negotiate on the contract terms, including but not limited to pricing of the contract, either face to face or via electronic means. So it could be multiple communications. First you would have different rounds of emails, to and fro emails, telephonic conversations, video conferences, and there could be a series of face to face meetings between executives as well, where two or more people come together. It cannot happen with just one person, to seek mutual agreement about one issue or more than one issues, and it should end with a win-win situation. So both the buyer and the seller should stand to gain something from the agreement. You cannot have a win-lose negotiation, or else it would affect the, or you may no longer have an agreement if it's a win-lose negotiation. So let's look at the characteristics of a win-lose negotiation. First, you have rigid negotiating positions. Both the parties or one of the parties is not flexible enough and is not offering options to the other party. So if one of the parties or both the parties are rigid on their stand, be it terms to intangible or tangible clauses of the agreement, reaching a negotiation, especially a win-win negotiation, would not be possible. Argument over a fixed amount of value. Well, there would be discussions and there would be negotiations, but you need to have flexibility, and arguments generally don't help. You need to have positive discussions that would help both parties reach an agreement which is mutually agreeable to both. Strict use of power by one authority over another, one party over another. This would generally happen if you have different level of people sitting on a negotiation table. So if it's an important business decision, and if there is a senior level person representing the client, you need to have a person with equal authority representing the other party as well. Or you would have a case where the senior person or the person with more authority would exercise a power over the other party, which creates an imbalance while negotiating the contract. And then you could also have an adversarial competition played out at the negotiating table. So all these factors would not let both parties or more than two parties reach a mutually agreeable solution. So let's now look at the characteristics of a win-win negotiation. Parties try and understand each other's needs and wants. It's important. While each party is there to protect their interests and get the best deal for themselves, they also need to understand the needs and wants of the other party as well. What would they need to be able to deliver the best solution, which would at the end impact your interests as well? So you need to be open to listen and understand, and at the same time make them come to the level that you would want them to. What's the best desired value for you? But you cannot be rigid and you cannot be insensitive to their requirements when you're sitting on a negotiating table. Parties build on common ground and work together to develop creative solutions that provide additional value. What alternative innovative solutions could you implement to meet the interests of both the parties or more than two parties involved in the negotiation? Primary use of power is to focus on common rather than personal interests. Likely to engage in open sharing of information, there needs to be a certain degree of transparency involved during the negotiation process. So let's look at what could be the steps involved in a negotiation process. First, identify or anticipate a purchase requirement. This is the starting point when it comes to negotiation for a vendor management requirement. You need to have a purchase requirement. You need to have the requirement to outsource or buy from a service provider. Determine if negotiation is required. If without negotiating, both the parties are able to meet each other's demands. For example, if the seller's best desired value is already agreeable to the buyer, if the buyer feels that he is getting a value which is lesser than what they were agreeing to pay, there is no room for negotiation. If both the parties already agree on all the terms and clauses mentioned in the agreement, there is no room for negotiation. So first, determine if negotiation is at all required. If it is, plan for the negotiation. You cannot go into a meeting unplanned. Plan for the negotiation. Understand your options. Understand and identify your range, the minimum and the maximum in terms of flexibility. Conduct the negotiation and execute the agreement. That would be the final step. ZOPA. Now, what do you mean by ZOPA? ZOPA is the acronym for Zone of Possible Agreement. So this is the zone which actually is the overlap in terms of the value expected by the buyer and the seller. In case there is no overlap zone, then reaching a mutual agreement or a win-win agreement seems a little difficult or impossible. So ZOPA is the most critical component to achieve a win-win outcome or agreement. It describes the intellectual zone between two parties where an agreement can be met which both parties can agree to. So example, if I'm selling a chair that you would use in an office, if as a seller I want to sell the chair at a minimum of 6,000 rupees, whereas my desired value is 7,000 rupees. So I have a range of 1,000 as a seller. Now my buyer wants to buy at not more than 6,500, whereas the buyer wants to buy it not more than 6,500, whereas his desired price for the chair is, say, 5,800. But there is an overlap in the zones of acceptability for the buyer and seller. They would both settle at something between 6,000 to 6,500. Now, that's the zone of possible agreement in this case. And another example of the same chair, if the seller wanted to sell at, say, 7,000, but his worst case would be, say, 6,400. So he would agree at not less than 6,400. Now the buyer wants to buy at 5,000. The most which he could agree to pay it, say, could be 5,800. Now in this case, there is no overlap. The highest the buyer could be paid is lower than the lowest the seller would accept. In this case, there is no overlap. There is no zone of possible agreement, and hence a mutually agreeable value does not seem possible. So this becomes the most critical component when two or more parties sit together for negotiation. Within this zone, that is within the zone of possible agreement, an agreement is possible. Outside of the zone, or without an overlap of the range of agreement between two parties, no amount of negotiation will yield an agreement. Nonetheless, it would never be a win-win agreement. So let's look at the illustration of ZOPA, the zone of possible agreement. So in this case, you would look at the range of the seller and the buyer. So if you look at here, there is a overlap between the seller's worst case and the seller's desired case, and the buyer's desired case and the buyer's worst case. So this here is the range of agreement. This is the overlap that you have between the buyer and the seller. So a value here would be agreeable to both the seller and the buyer. In this case, it's possible to reach a win-win negotiation. It's possible to reach an agreement. However, if you look at the next example, where you do not have a zone of possible agreement, here there is no overlap between the buyer's desired zone of agreement or range of agreement and the seller's zone or range of agreement. The seller's worst case is significantly higher than the maximum the buyer would agree to pay for the product or the service. The second example we had for the chair. So in this case, reaching an agreement where there is no zone of possible agreement, when there is no overlap between the buyer's expectations and the seller's expectations, reaching an agreement does not seem possible. Especially reaching a win-win negotiation does not seem possible. So that's the important role which ZOPA plays when it comes to negotiating. So when you are at the negotiating table, you need to identify this range. You should be very clear about your range, what is the maximum or the minimum that you could pay. And you should also identify the other person's flexibility when it comes to the pricing or other terms of the agreement. So what are the qualities of a good negotiator? What would make you a good negotiator? First, the ability to plan and prepare in advance. You cannot go for any meeting unprepared. Same applies to a negotiation meeting. You need to be able to plan and prepare. So what could be the other party's response to your rebuttals? So when you put forward a point, how would the other party react? What is the best that you could offer? What is the worst that you could settle for? You need to have the planning done in advance. You need to have the ability to put up a poker face during negotiations. You cannot exhibit your emotions, because that would give the other party a clue in which direction should they lead the negotiation. You cannot display your emotions. You need to have the ability to put up a poker face. You need to have the ability to articulate your objectives clearly. Make it very clear for the other people involved in the negotiation. Always be calm, polite, and personable. Have good knowledge of the market and the vendors. You should have the power to bargain hard, but knowing where to stop. You cannot be too rigid and you cannot be very flexible as well. So you should be able to bargain, but you should know where to stop. And obviously, good control over emotions. You cannot exhibit your emotions. You should not be afraid to walk out if terms are not good. So you cannot agree something which is beyond the worst that you could have agreed, which is in your best interest. So the negotiation may not end, but that should not stop you from walking out if your terms are not being met. You need to have the flexibility and the ability to deal with unexpected situations, which may happen. The other parties may propose something which you were not expecting. So how do you react to those situations? You need to be have a convincing power and obviously good communication skills to be able to convince the other parties. Willing to compromise or revise your goals, particularly when new information successfully changes your position. So if they propose something, if they present something which you think changes the position in terms of the negotiation, you should be willing to compromise or revise your expectations. Obviously, the person should have the authority to do that, but there needs to be certain degree of flexibility in accepting certain changes if proved. View issues independently. Explore almost twice as many options per issue compared with average negotiators. Have multiple options. Give multiple options to the other party at the negotiating table. So let's look at the tips for effective negotiation. How do you plan for the negotiation? First, do your homework on the vendors. Who is coming? Their history, their previous expertise in terms of the relevant previous expertise. Have your buying range set. As mentioned, you should need to know what's your desired value that you're willing to pay and what would be the worst case buying value that you would agree to. Always evaluate and have options at your disposal. That would help you in negotiating and convincing the other parties. Be prepared and clarify all the details up front. Analyze past spend and performance data. That would help in the preparation for the meeting. Step into the vendor's shoes. Look at things and look at the agreement from their perspective. It would help you reach a conclusion. Training. Be trained. Plan it out. Plan the negotiations. Talk to subject matter experts at your organization. All part of the planning process for the negotiation. Now, let's look at tips for negotiation execution. You plan for it, you prepared for it. How do you execute a win-win negotiation? Well, never offer to split the difference. Never. Cuff at the initial proposals. Hold on to your emotions. Maintain silence at critical junctures. Always display the power of options as discussed during the planning process. Always keep inquiring, ask questions. Let them talk, let them interact. During the negotiation process, don't negotiate against yourself if offered the lowest ever price. If the other party tries to convince you, and this is the lowest ever that they are offering you, and if that lowest ever is beyond your desired value or beyond your worst case value, don't settle for that. Don't negotiate against yourself or your organization. Use poker skills. As I said, put up a poker face. Do not reveal your emotions. In case of deadlocks, look to get concessions on aspects that are critical for your organizations, critical to meet your interests and objectives from the project. Save a small concession for the end. At the end, you may need to offer some concession to the other party. So it always helps if you save something for the end. Always let a concession that you give be reciprocated with a concession from them in return. So if you are doing a favor, expect and demand for a favor in return. use the good cop, bad cop technique. And do not lie ever. Do not lie during a negotiation process. Now, let's look at the benefit of reverse auctions. But first, what are reverse auctions? Well, in normal auctions, as you would say, the buyers bid to buy a product or a service from a seller. So what buyers do is they try to outbid the other buyers by quoting higher prices. In reverse auctions, it's the sellers who woo the buyer. So what happens is the sellers try to outbid the other sellers by offering the lowest possible quote. So in reverse auctions, the buyers stand to gain as they get lower purchase costs compared to the process of normal auctions. It also helps you beat the target savings as sellers are competing against each other to offer you the best possible, the lowest possible quote that they have to offer. Time savings. Rather than you running behind sellers, they come and they present their quotations and their proposals. It's deadline driven. There is more transparency and flexibility. And that's the reason most organizations, be it governments or be it corporates, now follow the process of reverse auctions for their outsourcing requirements. This was all about negotiating, the tips for negotiation and reaching a win-win negotiation during a vendor management outsourcing contract. We'll talk more in the next chapter for managing project vendors. Thank you very much.